Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. No.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another India Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Let me give out our caller number here, which is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And again, we have some topics for tonight. We're going to get basically into those that we didn't get into last Sunday. Anyway, our first topic is going to be Prince's passing. The second topic will be the LGBTQ and corporate America. And the third topic will be Congressional Black Caucus. I know last week I said I was going to get into those, but, well, I get to talking, and then I just talk right into the issue and then talk all over an issue. That's the way it is, and that's the way it goes. But, okay, well, as usual, we're going to start with some miscellaneous articles first, but we won't spend too much time on those. I'm hoping not. This first thing I want to read off into the show is something concerning Malia Obama, President Obama's oldest daughter. It's something about her being accepted to a college. Let me just read what I have here. What I have here says that the Fox News page running an AP story on Malia Obama's recent acceptance into Harvard is missing its comment section after the story was met with an avalanche of vile, racist responses from the site's readers. Interesting. So that's what they're saying here, that Fox News running I guess a page on some website that they have posted about Malia Obama being accepted into Harvard. And then this article goes further to say that the most anodyne comments simply accuse Malia of only getting into Harvard because of affirmative action. Other Fox News readers just went right for the juggler, lobbying her with a host of racial and religious, specifically Muslim, epithets, as well as smearing her and her mother's appearance and wishing openly that the president's daughter would get afflicted with cancer/AIDS or one of those colored diseases. Outrageous. Anyway, it goes further. Now, that was just some of the things that some of the people were saying on that particular Fox News site before those comments were taken down. Some might say that is a situation of suppressing the right to free speech. But again, concerning freedom, any freedom, responsibility, as I always say, and as many people recognize, responsibility goes with any freedoms or freedom. We have freedom, sure, but we have to use whatever freedom we have responsibly. And with that word responsibly or responsibility, there's a lot that goes along with that word or is, in fact, entailed within that word, such as concern, decency, things of that nature, you know, things that are good for one and all of us. Anyway, it says further that someone had posted, it says here that Addiction Info has posted screen grabs of some of the more repugnant comments, a few of which are viewed below, which I'm going to read here, about three or four of them. One of them says, another academically challenged affirmative action parasite steals a place from a qualified white or Asian student. Now, you got to figure, being that that person wrote that, that person really believes that. More than that, person believes that. Outrageous. I'll read that again. Another academically challenged affirmative action parasite steals a place from a qualified white or Asian student. Doubtlessly, this person would be a Trump supporter. It don't say that, but I'm assuming that just off the cuff. And another quote or screenshot that has been posted here is, it says that little ape should go to college in Africa. Those people are just ridiculous. I read that again. This person said, little ape should go to college in Africa. And then another person said, hopefully she gets cancer. Well, that's the same one I read earlier, the one about hopefully she gets cancer/AIDS or one of those colored diseases. There's another one says here that I wonder if she applied as a Muslim or a foreign student or just a nigger. But they spell nigger N-I. I don't know how they have those, you know, the at symbol, like when we write Yahoo, well, at Yahoo, that at symbol is like replaced there for the two G's. Outrageous, but creative, right? So you see, these people do in fact be thinking when they think up stuff like this. But although they are thinking, one has to really wonder and consider, what the hell are they thinking about? Just outrageous. But that's, and Obama's daughter, the president's daughter. I mean, they don't see any more in her in what they are shown via the media. I mean, when I look at Malia Obama, I see a beautiful young, attractive black girl. I could say woman, but she's only 16 or 17, but adolescent, I guess we could say. But young and beautiful. I mean, I would never think those thoughts that I just read about her. Never, couldn't. It's just not a part of my mental makeup, but there we have it. That kind of thinking is a large part of a lot of people's mental makeup. Outrageous. Anyway, I have another article here that I had wanted to read into the show, one of these miscellaneous articles. I call them miscellaneous, but they are just as important. And it concerns Harriet Tubman being, Harriet Tubman having been nominated to be on the $20 bill. That's to happen sooner than later. More so at this point, being that it's now, it's already late, but sooner than later, or later than sooner, because it hasn't happened yet. And what I have here is, it says that after multiple reports that freedom fighter Harriet Tubman would replace President and slave master Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill, Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew announced that he'll stay there, just on the back. So what they're saying there is that Harriet Tubman and Andrew Jackson will be on the to-be $20 bill that's to come out. It's to come out, I guess, in a few months. But, you know, concerning Harriet Tubman being on a $20 bill, well, I'll come to that later after I read something else into the show. Okay, but this article here goes further to say that the Internet, in just a second, it says here that the Internet was abuzz today about the Treasury Department replacing dead president and slave master Andrew Jackson with freedom fighter Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. Dozens of outlets reported on it as if it was a done deal, although the official announcement from Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew hadn't come. The article goes further to say, well, around 4 p.m., Lew did announce that Tubman is going to be on the front of the $20 bill, but the Treasury will keep Jackson on the currency just on the back. The decision to put Harriet Tubman on the new $20 bill was driven by thousands of responses we received from Americans young and old. I have been particularly struck by the many comments and reactions from children for whom Harriet Tubman is not just the historical figure, but a role model for leadership and participation in our democracy. Looking back on her life, Tubman once said, "I would fight for liberty so long as my strength lasted." And she did fight for the freedom of slaves and for the right of women to vote. Her incredible story of courage and commitment to equality embodies the ideals of democracy that our nation celebrates. And we will continue to value her legacy by honoring her on our currency. The reverse of the $20 bill will continue to feature the White House as well as an image of President Andrew Jackson. Okay, and they even talk about a new $5 bill, but I won't go into that. But let me see here. Got to keep an eye on the time. And also, just saying, concerning Harriet Tubman being on the, let us now say it correctly, on the front of the $20 bill, because as I just read, it is said, and has been stipulated that Andrew Jackson will be taken off the front of the $20 bill and now placed on the back of the $20 bill, and Harriet Tubman will be on the front. And my Facebook friend, an intellectual, I almost want to say mentor. Can I say that? Well, I'll just say my intellectual friend, Dr. Stacy Patton. She had written something on this change to the $20 bill that's to be. Stacy Patton writes, "So Harriet Tubman has to share a bill with the most racist president of all, a genocidal maniac and a slaveholder. The year after this bastard became president," she says, Dr. Stacy Patton says, "the year after this bastard became president, Andrew Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act, which was nothing short of legalized ethnic cleansing. Within 7 years, 46,000 indigenous people were removed from their homelands east of the Mississippi. Their removal gave 25 million acres of land to white settlement and to the expansion of slavery. The infamous Trail of Tears resulted in the deaths of 4,000 Cherokee Indians and their black slaves. Yes, Native Americans owned slaves. Jackson believed that the eviction of tens of thousands of Indians would force them to cast off their savage habits and become an interesting, civilized, and Christian community." That was Andrew Jackson. But more should be read on him. I know, well, eventually I'm going to read more on him, because that's a part of our history. It actually is. But at the moment, it's 15 minutes to the hour, and we're going to go into our first music break with a song from Myla J entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future. from her, or from the CoverGirl mixtape. So again, let me say that right. This is Myla J. Her song is called Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future. So here we go. Welcome back to India Morel Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Myla J entitled Diamonds featuring Drake and Future, and that's from the CoverGirl mixtape. Okay, so let me give out our caller number here, which is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in. We'd love to hear from you. Or just listen, either or. Do both. Anyway, right now I'm on the issue of Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill that's to come out soon. Okay, and I just read, I guess, some background as to how she's going to be there and why she's going to be there based upon what people now think of her, or should I say what society is now thinking of her, or better said, what certain people in society are now thinking of her. Because I want to read something else into the show a little later on about how some in society view her also. But right now I wanted to read something. It says here, Harriet Tubman will be on the $20 bill, and racist and sexist trolls reacted as expected. Okay, let's see here. Basically, what I have here are some, looks like some Twitter tweets. And based on what I see here, well, the faces on the account, they appear to be black, African-American. But yet, they have this to say about Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill. One person said, why are they putting Harriet Tubman, ugly ass, on a $20 bill instead of MLK or something? Isn't that something? And that's from someone who is black, or more so they have the picture depicting that they are a black person. Anyway, another person says, they got Harriet Tubman, ugly ass, on the 20s, representing black people. Shaking my head. That's what somebody else said, who also has a black photo on their Twitter account. And then another black face that's on a Twitter account says, I don't want to look at Harriet's ugly self every day. Seriously. Another person says, Harriet Tubman, ugly anyway. I ain't using 20s no more. I'm going to start asking for twos. No, no, he said, I'm going to start asking for two tens, as if that's funny. And another person says, no disrespect, but Harriet Tubman, ugly as hell. Cashiers ain't even going to accept the money. Another person says, Harriet Tubman looks exactly like a fucking ape. Why couldn't pick Malcolm X or something? And but like I said, who knows? Maybe those people were African American, but then again, they could have been, like they say, trolls. What they call trolls on Twitter. And then again, it says here, another person says, it says here, others reveal their deeply held stereotypes against black people in general, citing food stamps and drugs. One Facebook commenter wrote, they should put Tubman on food stamp bills. Steve Kirk commented, some guy named Steve Kirk. Ridiculous pandering, but it makes sense when you see that the stacks of 20s on tables after a drug bust, whatever that was supposed to have meant. But anyway, you know, I have a thought about Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill also. I mean, but my thinking goes elsewhere or is other. My thinking is really, how do we think Harriet Tubman would feel knowing that her face is now on the currency, is now on a particular piece of currency of the United States, a place wherein she had been a slave, and a place, in spite of all that she had done during the period of slavery, that they are speaking so much about now, speaking so admiringly about now. Harriet Tubman died broke. Harriet Tubman died basically penniless and was well up in age when she died. She had no succor from anyone. Actually, even the services that she had performed for the Union Army during the time of the Civil War, she got no monies for that. She got no recompense for that. Nothing. And then now they want to put her on the $20 bill or on any currency of this country. Like I said, when she died broke. I mean, to me, it's a joke. It really is. But I mean, in another way, it's good that she will be recognized finally in some form or fashion on a national and then therefore international level in a real sense, because the currency of this country goes far and wide. But other than that, no, I think it's a real joke that they would put Harriet Tubman's, want to represent Harriet Tubman on the currency of this country when she died broke. And then when we go back into slavery, when she was worked for nothing until she ran away, stole her own labor. But really, but where did she work at? She really didn't work anywhere anyway, because she was busy with the Underground Railroad. That was her work. In a real sense, just as today we have, or they have, professional organizers, professional agitators, professional protesters who get paid. Harriet Tubman was paid for her services by working for the Underground Railroad. But then again, all the money that she did acquire from that activity went straight back into the activity of the railroad, into her anti-slavery work. But anyway, now concerning Harriet Tubman's anti-slavery work, I got an article here that I got off Facebook. I had to get it, and I finally figured out a way how I could get it on my page and therefore copy it. It's from somebody named, who knows, this may be a fictitious person, but the sentiments in which she does, in fact, write out here, they are outrageously the way some people do, in fact, still think, because this wasn't written, nor was it said. It was written what is that thing? That letter. I forget what they call that letter that was supposedly written by some slave master. I forget the name of that letter, but at least this person here doesn't claim that she was way back then. She's saying that she is of today, of 2016, and this person, Carla Bramlett, that's spelled Carla, C-A-R-L-A, Bramlett, B-R-A-M-L-E-T-T. And what she says is this. She says, Pocahontas has more right to be there than this woman does. Or is this, once again, our president trying to bring America down to the same level of other countries? Native Americans have rights. This woman does not. I don't care what she did. According to Wikipedia, she was an escaped slave, at the time a crime punishable by death. She also stole property of others, freeing slaves, thief, no matter what the reason. So, putting this woman on our currency is, in fact, promoting illegal actions and glorifying them. Although I'm against slavery, any kind, she says, although I'm against slavery of any kind, back in her time, it was acceptable. So what is being said, that even though we put people in jail for murder now, in the future, it may be legal, so they may be immortalized for their horrific deeds? Who's next on our currency? John Wayne Gacy? Jeffrey Dahmer? Or maybe Hitler? No, this is wrong on so many levels. I have no problem with a woman being on currency, but to replace... Let me get that right. She says, this is wrong on so many levels. I have no problem with a woman being on currency, but to replace someone is wrong. Create a $25 bill or a $60 bill and put a woman on it. But by God and all things holy, put someone deserving on it, not an escaped slave and thief. That's what this woman wrote. Call her a whole letter. Again, she's one of those people who could twist her thinking to think in this fashion, especially in 2016. And she even has the nerve to say that, let me get that part right, where she says, although I am against slavery of any kind, and then she harkens back to yesteryear. Back in her time, it was acceptable. So what is she saying in a real sense? She's saying, although she's against slavery of any kind, but if she had been back in that day, she would have accepted it because it was acceptable. Doubtlessly, that is in fact what she's saying. Out MFing rages. And yeah, this is what I had replied to this caller, Bramlett. I had written basically what I just said. I said, can we believe that individuals still reason on this level in 2016? Well, reading is believing. Yet she says she's against slavery in any form. However, if she lived in that day, by her own words, Harriet Tubman or any enslaved person would have been in error by running away from slavery. Thus, she'd be one in perfect agreement with slavery and all laws pertaining to that institution if she had lived back then. Horrible. Just terrible. And you got to know, as I'm saying today about people like I just read about, she's doubtlessly a Donald Trump supporter. No doubt. She has to be. And one of those Confederate flag waivers also, out MFing wages. But you see, these people still exist. As quiet as it is kept and wanted to be kept. Because consider, it's hard to call, per our news media, it's hard to call Donald Trump a racist. They'll ask questions of others if he's a racist, but they just don't come right out themselves and say he's a racist. It's almost as if they feel detached from what's going on in our country. But like they like to claim that they are objective observers of what's happening. BS. So moving right along, had to get that out of the way. Moving right along, and then now going into our first article or topic issue about the death of Prince. I mean, first off, I'll say that I understand, Prince was an entertainer, and entertainers, they garner a lot of fans and people who worship them also, because I can relate to that, because in a real sense, when Tupac Shakur was alive, me even, I worshiped that guy. I mean, and when he was murdered and left here, I was devastated. So I can understand, you know, people as they have expressed their devastation at Prince's passing. I can understand that wholeheartedly. But however, you know, I'm not one who feels that type of devastation. Because to me, I mean, many people would in fact disagree, but to me, he was average. Well, that's another issue. But we can come back to that later on. Okay. So first off, here I got this article here, which says that right now, before I go into this article, I will say that right now, still now, there are a lot of things said about Prince. Things that could be true or may not be true, because in a real sense, we don't know. We weren't there, and we know by now, those of us who do know, that our media, I keep saying our as if I got something to do with it myself, but the media, they'll tell us anything. false or whatever. I won't even say true. But they'll tell us anything. A case in point was, as I always like to point out, that John F. Kennedy assassination. You know, still, in history books, it's still written. And even I still know what was written verbatim. We were told that Lee Harvey Oswald shot and killed John F. Kennedy from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building in Dallas, Texas, on November 22nd, 1963. The only thing true about what I just said was November 22nd, 1963, and about Dallas, Texas. All the rest of that I said about Lee Harvey Oswald and the Texas School Book Depository building, no, it didn't happen like that, based upon many books that have been written since that assassination. And the Warren Commission itself, a whole thick, voluminous book report was issued by our government pertaining to that assassination and pointing the finger at Lee Harvey Oswald as having been the lone assassin that killed John F. Kennedy. Outrageous. So right now it's 5 after the hour, and that is a point in time we go to our next music break. So right now we're going to hear a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. This is Lydia Caesar, her song Lifted. We'll be right back.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for ya. Yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull out some tricks, and I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch, loving like ooh. He know I can never get enough. My favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no, I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't falling, stand up loving me the way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. Euphoria, I want more, yeah. Baby, take me
every
higher.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted, yeah.
So lifted. Got to admit, I'm addicted, baby. For a sweet lips, the way we kiss, body like ooh. Strung out on his fingertips, with every grip, I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no, I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine.
He ain't falling, stand up loving me the way. And I know to make him feel some type of way.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
so lifted. To admit I'm addicted.
I'm addicted.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got the ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull out some tricks, and I be like, ooh, 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 ooh.
Welcome back to India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we just heard a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. That was Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. And I'm just now going into the issue of the death of Prince. Okay, and like I said, we don't know what is actually happening. We really don't. But I guess all things come out. Well, the truth will be told. It's like that. The truth will out. It's just like that. It might come out in bits and pieces, but eventually the truth will out. But what I do have here is an article that is entitled, Prince was set to meet addiction doctor before death. As if Prince was addicted to drugs, you know. Who knows? But anyway, this article here says that Prince's representatives arranged for the musician to meet a California doctor to help him kick an addiction to painkillers shortly before his death, according to a newspaper report published Wednesday. And then here it says here that some guy named Mousy, M-A-U-Z-Y, Mousy, who was representing the Cornfield family, said Cornfield couldn't immediately meet Prince, so he sent his son Andrew on a flight from San Francisco that night to discuss treatment in a meeting plan for the next day. And it turns out that these Cornfield people, it's a Dr. Cornfield and his son, who they are talking about here, when they said that this guy Cornfield couldn't immediately meet Prince, So he sent his son Andrew Cornfield. And it says here that Mousy and Howard Cornfield haven't responded to messages from the Associated Press. The article goes further to say that a law enforcement official briefed on the investigation had told AP that investigators are looking into whether Prince died from an overdose. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because he wasn't authorized to talk about the investigation. The same official also said investigators are looking at whether Prince had suffered an overdose when his plane made an emergency landing in Molina, Illinois, less than a week before he died. I guess, you know, we have heard talk of that Prince was on a plane from some concert and had to make an emergency landing. But again, what do we know about that other than what we have been told? And how can what we have been told be verified at this point in time? Who are the verifiers? I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, we just don't know anything. This Prince, he left us in April, at some point in time in April. And it says here further that this guy Cornfield, this Dr. Cornfield, runs Recovery Without Walls in Mill Valley, California. His son Andrew is listed on the website as a practice consultant. And it says further that this guy Mousy, the lawyer for this Dr. Cornfield and his son, it says Mousy told the newspaper that Prince representatives called Cornfield the night of April 20th because Prince was dealing with a grave medical emergency. Howard Cornfield says sent his son to explain how the confidential treatment would work. That's what the lawyer said. It's almost as if, just reading what I'm reading and or having read what I read, it was almost as if they had planned to, as if Prince was planning to go into some kind of a treatment facility for what they are saying was his drug addiction problem. And it says further here that the plan was to quickly evaluate his health and devise a treatment plan. Yes, that's what they're saying. And it says the doctor was planning a life-saving mission, whatever that's supposed to mean. And I guess we all know the rest of that story, according to reports about when this guy's son had gotten to Prince's home there in Minnesota and then what took place there in the home at Minnesota, according to what we're told, that he found Prince in the elevator dead. We don't say unconscious, but we're told that this guy found Prince in the elevator, well, unresponsive. That's the phrase that they use. And then now you see I got something else here too. It talks about the DEA, Drug and Alcohol Enforcement. Drug, Alcohol, and Firearms. I think that's the DEA, Drugs and Alcohol Enforcement. Additional federal authorities join death investigation. That's what this article here says here. It says that the U.S. Attorney's Office and Drug Enforcement Administration, yes, Drug Enforcement Administration, has joined the investigation into the death of Prince. But there it says the Hollywood Reporter confirmed. I don't know if that's a reputable newspaper or not, but those of you who do know, you all know if it is or isn't. But then again, hell, like I said, concerning the John F. Kennedy assassination, the New York Times was considered to be a reputable newspaper, the Washington Post. Every media outlet had posted that Lee Harvey Oswald killed John F. Kennedy from what I said by rote, by memory. And basically that's in everybody's memory, what we were told. Anyway, it says here that they have agreed to provide federal resources and expertise in our investigation. A spokesperson for the Carter County Sheriff's Office said. Okay. And it says here further that since that time, Carver County Sheriff's Office has been investigating the circumstances surrounding the death of the 57-year-old iconic musician. And it says further that since Prince's death, there have been multiple reports the artist was struggling with an addiction to painkillers. But then again, to whom are those multiple reports coming from? Okay. So I'm going to go right on into this situation here. Let me see here. About, like I said, you know, what's being said and not said. I got an article here which was published on the 23rd of April. This article here says that it was from Minneapolis, AP. This article here says Prince was cremated and celebrated afterward in a small private service by a group of his most beloved family, friends, and musicians, his publicist said Saturday. You see that? I'm reading that because there's another conflicting article that had come out also. And it says here further that the statement said Prince's final storage would be private. Okay, but at the same time, like I said, another article had come out. I had read the date of that article sometime April 24th, and then just in May, early May, another article came out on the 7th of May, saying that Prince's family say there has been no memorials, funeral, or tribute service. And this article here says that the family of late musician of the late music legend Prince has released a statement clarifying reports about the death of their loved one, primarily that he has not yet been laid to rest. It goes further to say that we would like everyone to know, contrary to previous and current reports, there has been no memorial, funeral, or tribute service for Prince that was organized or authorized by the family or Paisley Park representatives. Together, the family is planning an official memorial service and public event to take place in the near future. So you see, conflicting reports. I mean, why would somebody write that? But why would they do that? Just write something that was totally untrue, as if Prince's family might just go along with that. But evidently they didn't, or the way it's reported, they didn't. That is, if that first report is true, or more so, that is, if that first report was true, and Prince's family didn't go along with it, or if this second report is true, and we have to see if Prince's family come out and say that no, he has been laid to rest, cremated, in whatever fashion. See, who knows what's going on? I certainly don't. Yeah, but as I was saying, though, Prince, I mean, let him rest in peace. And you know, those who have a lot of grief for him, you know, I feel for y'all. And I'll just say that I know it's not easy, because in a real sense for myself, concerning Tupac Shakur, after his death and after what I had went through on a certain night and occasion, I found myself actually crying. Matter of fact, I was in my car and I was listening to that jam called Cry For Me with Tupac and I think Scarface. Is it Scarface or somebody else? Anyway, Cry For Me Now. That was the name of that jam. I'm listening to that, and at that point I was drinking and I was smoking weed at that point in time. I was, you know, into my drug thing. And I never forget how I was sitting there in my car and I was listening to that jam. And all of a sudden I found tears in my eyes. I'm thinking, what the fuck is this? Anyway, it was after that happening that in a real sense I couldn't listen to Pac for about a year after that. It took me about really a year, and the thing is I had at that point every CD that he made except one or two. Maybe one. Could have been two. But after that experience, I couldn't play him anymore. It took me a whole year before I could play Tupac in my car again or anywhere. But now I can play him now. You know, I'm over that, but I still have grief for that dude. So you all who were into Prince like that, I can tell you all from my own personal experience, it ain't over. It's not over, and it probably won't ever be over. It's like the loss of a loved one. You can always feel that loss. So anyway, let's let Prince rest in peace. But anyway, it's all right. Having spoken that about Prince, now I'm going to go on into the LGBTQ and corporate America issue. And it's interesting to me that I do go straight from Prince to the LGBTQ situation topic. Yes, because in a real sense, it's also my thinking, and it had been so long before Prince passing, even while Prince was here. My thinking had been then as it is now. That in my thinking, I mean, I could be wrong, but I know a lot of people will disagree. But anyway, just to come on out and say it, that is that my thinking is that if Prince hadn't been the way he was, he may not have been as famous as he had become. Now, what do I mean by the way he was? I mean in terms of his sexuality. I mean, I don't know what his sexual proclivities were, but based upon the way he portrayed himself, it could have been anything. I mean, because I was reading some articles about homosexuality and I mean homosexuality as it pertains to the whole genre of that particular, I'm going to say lifestyle. I know they say it's not a lifestyle, that it's even derogatory to call it a lifestyle, but hey, I'll just say that's what they say. They have to talk to me to prove me different or to explain to me different. I can say that, but still no, because we would argue, me and a homosexual person, we have argued, okay? But anyway, as I'm saying, Prince, I also see him as what they call the andronistic type, you know, the male that has female features as well as male features, and then based upon that, they can in fact go either way if they so choose to go either way, and now me, I do see Prince as being like that, but I don't know myself personally if he chose to go both ways or not. For all I know, he was strictly male and only, you know, had, you know, heterosexual. He only had straight sex. Even to say straight sex, that comes from what I would call the homosexual linguistic genre, even to speak in that term, straight sex, you know. But then again, I don't know. But again, based upon the way he carried himself or performed on stage, again, who knows? I don't know. I was I wasn't in his immediate circle. I can only go on, you know, what I perceived from him, and I didn't really, how can I put it? I didn't really care to watch his performances either. Anyway, but after his passing, you know, they would put on clips of him performing. And I recall one morning I was sitting here watching the news, and they were showing a clip of Prince performing. I didn't know that it was Prince getting ready to perform, because when they brought the camera up to the stage and was panning in on the individual whom they were panning in on, he had on something like pantyhose, basically. Some black pantyhose, and basically, you know, the ass was basically out, or it was, how can I put it, like protruding out. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh shit, what the hell is this? You know, I got interested. And then he turned around. It was Prince. I said, what the fuck? I mean, damn. So you see what I mean? I mean, stuff like that is what I think really got him over, because in my thinking, the country, can I say the country? Well, how can I say the country? Because in my thinking, at that point in time, I guess the homosexual movement was gaining momentum at that point in time. And a lot of confusion was also out at that point in time, with people trying to, how can I put it, with people trying to not necessarily choose sides, but to get a footing, to get a grasp on what was taking place with this thing called sexuality or sexual preferences and things of that nature. And then, you know, up comes Prince out there like that, bold like that, in your face like that, you know. So like I said, that's my thinking about that. I think that that Prince, he helped usher a lot of that kind of culture into helped it get more mainstream than what it would have. That's just my thinking. I could be wrong. But right now it's 25 after the hour. We're going to go into our next music break, because that is when we have another music break, 25 after the hour. And right now we're going to have a song from again, Myla J. And the song is entitled Friends, from her Cover Girl mixtape. So here we go.
Playing it cool, you were playing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the obvious, but you guessed it. Oh, yeah, I got you. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'd be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother was about shit, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me, nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me, nigga, please. I don't wanna hear about it, you can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
Now you wishing you was with me, living life so true. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that booty. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you used to say, have a load. So stupid, and it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me, nigga. Please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me, nigga. Please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Welcome back to India Morell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from Myla J entitled Friends from her Cover Girl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And I see here that we do have a caller here. I wasn't sure if that was a caller wanting to talk or not, but let's see if we can bring him or her on. So I'm going to every code 314-372-8255. And, well, the number, area code is 314. The number is 372-6416. So let me see if I can bring him or her on. Let's see what happens. Hello, can you hear me? Okay, let me see. Maybe I had pressed the wrong button there, but let's see what happens now. Well, I'm still waiting for this situation to engage. Okay, area code 314, are you on the line? Can you hear me? Okay, he can't hear me there, so let me press on to this other icon. Okay. Okay, we're going to try to see what happens. Let me try it again. Area code 314. No, that's muting the person. I see that. Okay, area code 314. Can you hear me? Let's see what happens. Area code 314. Can you hear me? Okay, I don't hear anybody coming on. So let's see what happens there again. Because I don't want to mute the person, so I'm trying to bring the person in so they can say something. Area code 314, can you hear me? Okay, so I'm going to go on and continue with the show. And because I'm not getting any response whatsoever. Again, area code 314, are you there? 372-6416. Speak up. You're on the line. You're on the air. Okay, I don't know how that's going to work. So what I was just saying there about the into the LGBTQ issue in corporate America was concerning Prince and how I think that, Prince, he helped this movement come right along, and also that movement helped Prince come further than what he would have if he hadn't been as he was. And I just say, God bless him, for whatever. I mean, I'm not one who people who, let's say, the homosexual community like to say is a homophile. What's that word? Who is afflicted with homophobia? No, I'm not. I like to talk. I like to engage people. I like to listen to what people have to say. And then I try to make sense of what they said, or if I come to realize what they said is nonsense, I know to just either, respond to it or keep on moving, either or. But anyway, with the issue of the LGBT community in corporate America, I have this article here that pertains to Michael Jordan. It says, Michael Jordan to North Carolina, HB2 goes, or Charlotte Hornets goes. The HB2 is in relation to that bill that was passed by the North Carolina legislature about the issue of transgender people being allowed in whatever bathroom that wasn't pertain to their birth sex or their sex at birth. I mean, so anyway, this article here starts off by saying that Charlotte, North Carolina, AP, NBA legend and Charlotte Hornet owner Michael Jordan held a press conference announcing his intentions to move the Hornets out of North Carolina if the state does not revoke its controversial HB2 law. With this new law in place, North Carolina currently does not have any anti-discrimination protection in place, something that is vital, not just for our fans, but for everyone, Jordan told reporters. We are giving the state of North Carolina 30 days to repeal this law, or they can expect the Charlotte Hornets to play elsewhere. I want to make it clear that neither the Hornets nor I will not stand for this type of intolerance and hate. And the article goes further to say that Jordan comments come after the North Carolina legislature passed HB2 back in March, a law which requires transgender individuals to use public restrooms according to according to the biological sex on their birth certificate. It goes further to say that Paul Horner, a spokesman for the Charlotte Hornets, told ABC News that the team is currently talking to several cities about a possible relocation if the state decides to keep HB2 intact. And it's in quotes here. It says, "We are currently in talks with certain individuals in the cities of Austin and Seattle, among others," Horner said. "We sincerely hope it does not come to moving the team, but in the event North Carolina does not revoke the law, we must be prepared for the worst." And then the article goes further to say that, the article goes further to say that Sarah Bradley, a spokeswoman for Socket Forward, a group that provides the homeless and those less fortunate with brand new socks, told ABC News that she agrees with Michael Jordan taking a stand against North Carolina's HB2 law. And then she goes further to say that if anyone can get a bigoted law like HB2 revoked, it's Michael Jordan. There were plenty of laws already in place before HB2. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, transgender, or what bathroom you use. If you're in there longer than 5 minutes after using the restroom, someone is going to call the cops. Creepy men or women doing creepy things in a restroom gets you on a sex offender list and you go to prison for such crimes. In fact, in the history of North Carolina, not one transgender individual has ever been convicted of a sexually related crime in a restroom. The new law is about people living in fear, gathering together around their weird ideologies and religious beliefs to create more intolerance and hate in this world. Bottom line, this ridiculous law has also given me insight into the working mind of a far right-wing Republican. Apparently, there are serious amounts of orgies and other sexual activities going on in bathrooms that I never knew about. On a serious note, I sincerely want to thank everyone that has donated socks or money to our cause. And that's what she says there. And it goes further to say that since Governor Pat McCrory signed HB2 into law back in March, well over 5,000 jobs have been moved out of state, and over 400 companies, including Facebook, Apple, PayPal, and others, have expressed concern or anger, warning that they may move or cancel plans to expand, costing the state millions of dollars. Entertainers such as Pearl Jam, Ringo Starr, Bryan Adams, Bruce Springsteen, and others have also canceled their performances in North Carolina to boycott the law. Pressure has been put on the NBA to cancel the All-Star game in North Carolina next year, and this week NBA Commissioner Adam Silver clarified the league's willingness to move 2017 All-Star game out of Charlotte if North Carolina legislators do not overturn the new state law. It is still unclear what kind of an economic impact these boycotts will have on the state's economy as a whole. NBC estimates that North Carolina has lost $186 million in revenue due to boycotts so far. ABC News puts the figure well above $300 million. And the article goes further, ending, saying, Jordan finished the press conference by reiterating his demands. He said, as my organization has stated previously, the Charlotte Hornets and Hornets Sports and Entertainment are opposed to discrimination in any form, and we have always sought to provide an inclusive environment, as has been the case since the building opened. We will continue to ensure that all fans, players, and employees feel welcome while at work or attending NBA games. If that means moving the team out of the state, if North Carolina doesn't repeal HB2, then that is what we are prepared to do. I urge you all, and he goes on further, a kind of what do they call it? A kind of phone banking. He's urging people to call this Governor Pat McCrory and voice your concerns. Interesting. Very much so interesting. Some people might say that isn't that, you know, the homosexual community in a real sense, you know, forcing their way on others. I mean, even with the economic boycott. Some could say that, and in a sense, that is what it is, and that's to me is where we do see, can see, how the LGBT community, the LGBTQ community, as they say now, and corporate America are in cahoots with one another, or they more so understand each other than the average person or citizen does. And a good question can be, why? Why is that so? And the only answer to that can be that there are quite many, I'll say, homosexual individuals within corporate America. I guess in a real sense, more than we would have ever thought and could have thought. And the same thing with the entertainment industry. Now, I'm not, it may sound like that I'm, I guess in a sense I am talking about them. I don't want to say talking down on them because I don't think I'm doing that. But I'm just in disagreement with that, the way they seek to push their way of thinking onto other people. I wouldn't even say the average American person, but just other people. I mean, some people are cool with that or okay with that kind of lifestyle or those kinds of actions, and some people just aren't. And I think that in itself ought to be respected. I mean, based upon some things that I've read as of late, there was a time when, number one, homosexuality was considered as a mental illness. Now, I wouldn't necessarily go along with that, because we can also remember that there was a time, according to the psychiatric community, criminals had a mental illness. I mean, if you stole something, you were mentally ill. I mean, if you have a propensity to commit crime, you were considered mentally ill. But see, it's convoluted. But I'm glad that they went away from that to realize that just because a person may commit crime, that doesn't make them mentally ill. There are other reasons for that. And mental illness may have nothing to do with it. By the same token, going back to the homosexual individual, I would totally disagree that they are mentally ill. Something else is going on there, but I wouldn't say it's a mental illness. It's a mental difference. That's for sure. You know, so what I'm saying there is that, you know, I can understand, you know, well, the homosexual person and their mindset wanting to, how can I put it, come into the mainstream of society. But then again, even that word, mainstream, that's a societal word, a societal constructed word. What does that word really even mean, the mainstream? I mean, that's another question there, but as I said, I mean, you know, you have some people who are comfortable with that, and then again, you have those people who are not comfortable with that kind of choice, or we can even say sexual proclivity, or that kind of sexuality. And as I said, I think that ought to be respected. I mean, just that, it ought to be respected. Because, like I said, and I'm still doing some reading on this homosexual thing, because I want to hear their argument. That's basically what it is. I want to hear their argument. And in reading some things that I'm reading. I would say some strange things, the way they craft their arguments and propositions. For one, I mean, they consider it, all right, let's take the bathroom issue right now. They consider that, I guess, the transgender person, the person who is born a man but feels and want to be seen as a woman, going into the female bathroom. I mean, it's like women and girls don't have a say about this. And then when we might think about it and or consider it, I think the way one should, there are many more women and girls than there are transgender individuals. That's just the way it is. So for now, it's like we can say in a real sense, it's like the minority is going to overrule the majority. But just saying that like that, I could bring into another situation that is wrong. Thinking about society and then thinking about, let us say societies, therefore. We can say, okay, that that Caucasians are actually, well, Europeans are actually a minority on the planet. Yet somehow, some way, they have gotten it so wherein they control or influence the majority on the planet. Now, there's got to be something wrong there somewhere. And for a long time, a lot of people have been struggling against that, fighting against that, trying to push back against that. But the European, having full sway of universities and the media and other apparatuses of society, somehow, some way, well, they're able to get their way, and not only with universities and the media, but actual arms, firepower they have on their side. But again, saying all that, but coming back to say what I just said is that Europeans are a minority on this planet, and then now again bringing in the homosexual, let's say, community. Transgender or whatever way they are within that genre, let's use the word genre if we will, or within that mindset, they are a minority. And then just going back into the transgender thing about having access to the female bathroom. Again, there are more girls and women than there are transgender people, or even in a high school. I read some article wherein maybe two or three transgender individuals will have it so that they can use the female bathroom. Now, in a high school, there are many more girls, hundreds of girls, compared to just those two, three, or one transgender individuals. But yet, he gets his way just on that level right there. It don't make sense. But again, going back to the educational quotient in this thing, I will say that most homosexuals whom I've spoken with and things that I have read, I would say that they do appear to me to be more intelligent than most of the people that I do, in fact, encounter. That's what I would say, and that to me also explains how it is that the homosexual class, if we can put it like that, the homosexual class, that they have taken control of the argument. They have gained control and therefore have an upper hand on explaining what is and what isn't in terms of homosexuality, and then, as they like to put it, heterosexuality. They have the upper hand in that because from the heterosexual standpoint, we're not really, we're not really arguing from the same standpoint in which they are. Because in my thinking, I think that for us to have a real dialogue, we have, as I do, when I find myself engaged in a conversation, person of that mindset, you know, each thing that they put forth, I'm able to, I don't want to use the word contradict, but I guess that's what I do when we're talking. A better way to say it is that each thing that they say in support of their mindset, I'm able to show them a contrary mindset. And then, see, that's where the argument takes place. And we're going back and forth, back and forth. And then we eventually leave each other in disagreement. I just say, that's your opinion, but you see, it's not mine. And then it's unfortunate that there aren't many people like myself, but more like you who can explain your position as you have just done. And then, you know, you have the many who are, well, to use their word, homophiles. That's what the homosexual person will call a person who is more so in agreement with homosexuality than not, although that person may not be homosexual. They consider that person a lover of homosexuals. I guess that's the way they put it when they want to put it like that. But in saying that, what I'm saying is that you have more people like that, the homophile, and most of the time those people, they just don't care one way or another. They are of the mindset using the adage, you know, well, live and let live. But, you know, that's all well and good, too. That's all well and good, too, live and let live, because we're not, well, in me talking as I talk, I'm not talking about killing nobody because of the way they think. I mean, their thinking isn't, you know, infringing on my mortality. No, it's not. They can be what they want to be, but to speak quickly, I'm just against the homosexual community seeking to push their ideology on the rest of the American community. That's where I am, you know. And then again, I even with the homosexual whatever mindset they are, lesbian, you know, women to women, man to man, transgender. And, well, just that, you know, I just say that, I put it this way. First off, I say that like a person who thinks like that, and I've even told them or said to them in our talks, I would say to them something like, just asking, but you're not really religious, are you? Or you don't really have a real concept in God, do you? And they either answer yes or no, and then if they answer no, I can say, well, it's understandable that you wouldn't believe in God, because how could you? Because for you to believe in God, you would also have to believe that when it came to you personally, individually, God made a mistake. Now, how could God have made a mistake? By making you something that you're not. But as we're told from a religious perspective, God don't make mistakes. So therefore, where is the mistake at? You see, and then coming back to that question, if they do say, that's if they do say yes, then I come from that way, that then they must assume that God made a mistake. But then if they don't have a religious perspective, it's still that they feel that everything is up for grabs. Everything is everything. I can do what I want to do. You know, and that's also true. That's also true. We do have that freedom, because me and myself, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in some kind of deity that's looking out over earthly happenings. No, I don't believe that. But that doesn't make me, you know, immoral or less moral. Because I think I have a really good moral perspective in many aspects, and I'm not one who believes that I can just do what I want to do. Why can't I just do what I want to do? Because I have to be considerate of others at all times and in all ways. Whereas, take the homosexual, no, he or she aren't like that. No, they may be moral, but their morality is, I guess, limited in certain aspects or perspectives. That's the way I would see that. So that's why I say, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. And going back to the LGBTQ and corporate America, like I said, is corporate America is only coming out as they are because we have many individuals in corporate America who are of that sexual persuasion in one way or another, as quiet as it is kept. And I wish we had more time, because there are some other things, but then again, that can be next week. We can continue this conversation next week as well. And anybody listening, they might want to, you know, chime in to, you know, speak to me on it. Tell me what is your perspective on it. And if you also feel that in this situation, let people do what they want to do, but at the same time, you know, don't push that on society in general. And, you know, a boycott, I mean, taking money away from, let's just say, from a state because of what? A few individuals? You can say it like that, indeed. A few individuals, like again, it's been said before on this show. In a real sense, I mean, the homosexual person in this country and throughout the world are in a minority. But okay, time is passing, and I'm going to have to close the show out. So I'm going to try to close the show out with a song. Let us go to Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. And with that said, this is Urban Society from Dollhouse Radio, signing off. Till next week. Have a good night, people.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for ya. Yeah.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lip. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull up some tricks, and I be like ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden glove, the Midas touch, loving like ooh. He know I can never get enough, my favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love, oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way, and I know to make him feel some type of way. Euphoria, I want more, yeah. Baby, take me higher.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted, yeah.
Got to admit, I'm addicted, baby. For a sweet lips, the way we kiss, body like ooh. Strung out on his fingertips, with every grip, I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love, oh no.
I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine.
He ain't falling, stand up, loving me the way. And I know to make him feel some type of way.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Got to admit.